Blog Talk Radio.
For the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history, almost all of mankind is politically awake. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people. Literally, it was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
And I'm going to call you on the
The truth of your world government has now been exposed. We know you are ruthless. We know you are evil. To David Rockefeller, to the Rothschild representatives here, to the Queen of the Netherlands, to all of you, we tell you are not our queen. You are not our kings. You are not our gods. We do not belong to you. We are not your slaves. We stand as free humans and stood since the beginning of time against the strong men, against the thugs, against the bullies. We will defeat your world government. We will defeat world taxation. We will defeat your control grid. God is on our side. I stand before the creator of the universe. And I ask the creator of the universe, as our founding fathers did in 1776, to lead, guide, and direct us, and to give us the power and the foresight and the understanding and the will to stand against your entire agenda, including your final plan of world population reduction of 80% that Henry Kissinger penned in 1973. Why do you put mercury in the vaccines instead of sodium chloride in the water? Why? Why do you put cancer viruses in the vaccines? Why have you used depleted uranium now in four separate nations? You're arrogant. You have the sickness that elites have had throughout history in their literal and, in some cases, figurative ivory towers. You believe that you're invincible. You will and you are failing now. Your new world order will fall. Humanity will defeat you. The answer to 1984 is 1776.
The orders you're taking right now are unconstitutional. Understand right now what you guys are doing here today will play effect throughout history. We are tired of these private Federal Reserve bankers who are running this country and destroying this country from the inside. The tyranny that they commit against you and your family as well. You want to stand here as Americans because we know our founding fathers died for this very right.
I declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse. You must leave the immediate vicinity. If you remain in this immediate vicinity, you will be in violation of the Crimes Code, no matter what your purpose is. You must leave. If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and or subject to other police action. Other police action may include actual physical removal, the use of riot control agents and or less lethal munitions, which could cause risk of injury to those who remain.
If the American people allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Thomas Jefferson.
We must stand up and resist.
loved you so much, but for now I'll be keeping hush, hush. I'll be keeping hush, hush. I know the scars I've left behind. I broke two hearts and one was mine. If I knew now what I know then, she wouldn't be in your arms and wouldn't be without you. I said I'm but I don't still feel it. Everybody's gotta have secrets. Yeah, but I'm gonna keep it myself. Hide away my heart on the bottom step. I'm still rush, never wanted you so much, but for now I'll be keeping hush, hush. I'll be keeping hush, hush. I'll keep it underground, undercover, classified disguise. Yeah, play it cool for a while I'm burning up inside. Yeah, I still feel it. Wanted you so much, but for now I'll be keeping hush, hush. I'll be keeping hush, hush. I'll be keeping hush, hush.
Woo! I love that one.
Good evening. This is a kind of emergency meeting of the Sunny Thomas Show. Carol, can you hear?
Yes, I can. Thank you
okay,
so much,
great.
Corinne.
Well, you have the floor. We got it to work, and that's the important thing.
All right. I really do appreciate that. Can our guests hear me as well?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, folks, I apologize for tonight. I want to thank you, Corinne. Yeah, I'm afraid if we ring off that we will actually lose me, you know, as a guest, and you'll have the show at this point. But I want to thank you for your help and let everybody know that we've had some severe technical difficulties tonight, and there is a box I'm reading that says we are currently experiencing an issue with the host line and guest line numbers. Our engineers are working actively to resolve this issue. So we apologize that the show was late tonight, but I want to say welcome to blogtalkradio.com/truthemerges radio network. You are listening to the Sunny Thomas Show with your guest host, Catastrophe, and also with Corinne Smith, who is helping us as our technical link to Blog Talk Radio tonight. And you were just listening to Fistful of Diamonds by Wasp, which is just a prelude to the subject matter. This is the second show, I'm just going to say, and I don't mean to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I am, okay? Okay, thank you, Corinne. I do see that, and thank you so much. I appreciate your help in this, and when we're done, we'll just, you know, we'll message back and forth, and we'll get that across. So also, we have our guest tonight who will be coming on, our own space cadet. She's actually got the first hour as our host. She'll be talking about Jade Helm and sharing a lot of information regarding that. Okay, if I log in as the host, I can control the show, okay? Yeah, I'm afraid if I try to do that, we may lose the show. That's my concern. We've had that happen before where we stopped and it just stopped the show. So, again, Space Cadet has our first hour. And the second hour, we're going to be discussing a very special topic tonight. We'll be going down the rabbit hole. If you've been looking at our page tonight, you're going to see what that subject matter is concerning. And apparently it's such a hot topic that the last time we tried to do this, we were, censored, and the show never happened. So We're not even going to disclose that necessarily, but if you're looking at the Sunny Thomas show page, you've got a good view of what we're going to be talking about tonight. So, in fact, we're going to go over that right now and look at the page. So if you'd like to come on over to the page with me and scroll down, and then after we scroll down the page, we're going to be looking very quickly at the blog or vlog, video log. In fact, because the quality of the sound is so poor anyway, and I'm calling in as a guest, it's even more poor when I'm doing that as a host. So I'm going to direct you over. I pinned that to the top of the page, and that is from your host, Sunny Thomas. He has a vlog for you to listen to, and if you want to take a minute to do that now or later, you've got some information there. We have here, looking at the page, Operation Jade Helm, massive military drill across 9 states for unconventional warfare. Of course, it's interesting to me how mainstream media and the powers that be will try to control that information, of course, and they make sure that their propaganda is the first thing that you see when you Google that information. So I would say, again, do your homework. I'm also looking at, okay, here we go, some of the things that I posted today and that Space Cadet also posted. So what HAARP is and everything it's used for, full HAARP documentary. So there's a lot on HAARP if you'd like to see. We just had lots of rain where I'm at today, and I can tell you we were sprayed the last 2-3 days, and that's where they came from. 27 things that will happen in September and through October 2015. There are a lot of rumors around what will happen in September and October. So this is, again, important information. This is not just pie in the sky. These are things you're watching it happen, you're living it, you're wondering why these things happen around you. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, playing that vlog from Sunny, I just don't have the sound quality. We can try that and just see. Anyway, I kind of jumped back. I'm sorry. But, yeah, I'm looking at that, and that is important information because it affects all of us. We're going to try to play the vlog real quick and just see how this plays. So if you'll bear with me a minute, I have that ready, and we're going to play that, and I'm going to put my phone right up to it and see if we can capture it. Hang on 1 second, please.
Hey, this is Sunny from the Sunny Thomas Show, calling on Super Radio Network. You are on Facebook at TruthEmergesRDO and on Twitter at TruthEmergesRDO. Follow my show on SunnyThomas.com at Facebook.com/SunnyThomasShow and also on Twitter at SunnyThomasShow. Just a quick update. I kept thinking about the story. I think I was UK not too long ago. A couple months ago, there was some chick saying that whites have their culture and basically, she's denigrating white men specifically. And I think, if I remember correctly, actually, judging by her name, maybe the writer of the article, as opposed to the actual one that she was being corrected, because I guess she was teaching stuff in her social sciences class or something like that in the UK, they clearly show that she might have been a Jew. Interesting enough, when you basically say that white people don't have culture, that's actually very much asinine, because of the fact that there are so many things that make a culture. Just simple stuff. I mean, photography alone can create a culture because you have resources that are available, whether it's certain vegetation, whether there are a lot of resources, a lack of resources. For example, if you live in an arid climate, the culture of the people who live in Arabian Peninsula or in the Middle East could be totally different than those who live in some of the major river valleys of antiquity. For example, most of the major civilizations are all based on major rivers and tributaries, such as Egypt, was all based off the Nile. You had a couple of great rivers in China, where many of the kingdoms were around. I mean, just look in the United States. I mean, how much we depended on rivers and canals to be able to get around as a main source of transport, which is faster than going over land. For example, in the Dayton area, you had the Great Miami River, but you also had Little Miami, and you had some other stuff, and of course your canals go here. There's a major canal that goes from Lake Erie down through, I think, to the Hudson in New York. So you got a lot of stuff there that automatically creates things. So you have things that are able to flow in more easily. that also changes the culture. Just like all different type of animals. For example, some cultures, their belief systems are built on certain animals, because why is a cow sacred in India? You know? I mean, in the South American tribes, just in the 1500s, before the conquistadors had showed up, the certain things that were there, you know, certain trees or certain volcanoes or even certain types of plants were considered sacred because of the fact that they're few and far between, or they had certain effects on people and all sorts of stuff. So, I mean, it creates a culture. So the more and more that I see of that one particular statement, I'm looking forward to actually going to find the article again and rereading. The clear, obviously, sure, she has an agenda. She's totally asinine. Why in the hell this chick is teaching any type of cultural sciences and social science? Beats the shit out. So it shows they have a very marginal system on how to get people out. But, you know, the bottom line is just look at Europe. I mean, everything that has a, you know, just like Michael Savage, border language and culture. Anything that has a border language, it will have a culture. For example, Poland is different than Germany. France different. Britain different than Germany, just because of the topography and even the climate. I mean, obviously, why the Vikings came and started raiding down the middle part of Europe in the 1000s and up, because of the fact that the, their topography was, they're getting overpopulated, and they have a very hilly, rocky terrain at that, which means their resources are going to get more stretched, and they're going to start fighting each other, so they had to start stretching out. For example, I mean, how was Adolf Hitler able to get a lot of people to follow him in Germany? Because, in fact, he tapped into a lot of historical aspects of German history to justify some of his stances for his philosophy, and why he actually reached out to the British in a peace offer initially, because they were a lot of the same people, because, again, the Saxons, the Vikings, and many other people that came and raided both their lands, their DNA was just as much them as it was the Brits. So they were essentially all, you know, interrelated in many ways. Not that, but a lot of the goals were the same as well. So, I mean, again, he was trying to do peace offerings before they even got into any type of war type situation. I mean, that's just an example. Similarities and differences between China and Japan, even a lot of Chinese actually colonized. But then you've got completely different cultural aspects between Koreans and Japanese. You know, again, they may look the same to most of us Anglos, but to them, it's night and day. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of aspects. I mean, just go over to England any given time. Their accents are slightly different, right? Because those regional dialects from the regional tribes. And over time, you've noticed it's expanded. They are still the same. So they sound the same to us, but the dialects are different. Really, if you go to the South, people in the South know someone from Virginia and someone from Georgia and then someone from Louisiana, all are going to sound totally different because of their accent and different cultures. So those are some things to look at. So we've got to understand things that make a culture. A lot of it is borders and language and also just social values, leaders that change things, innovation, all sorts of stuff, all create culture. So these are things that we have to really look at and respect for the culture. So, so that's pretty interesting. So the more I kept thinking about it, it just kept really burning me to get my call. But never mind. Okay, so Catastrophe is definitely going to the helm of the night. She's always wonderful coming up. She has a very special report she's going to do in a couple of battles in New Orleans radio out of New Orleans, Louisiana. It's going to be filming. So very much looking forward to his commentary and thank you, Lex. So I was going to get some his David Abadi show a few months ago, and it's a wonderful good time. And looking forward to hearing his comments. So, lost my hat and check everything out. And Rachel on the show very nicely. Already have a new intro, order pretty much put together. And we're going to really start jazzing up. That's really going to start working on building some sponsorships and really start making this thing cool. So this well deserved sabbatical. And when we come back, Ryan, we're going to be really hit. Home runs right off the bat. All right, good to St. Thomas.com, CSSC Hub, GHB.com, and also check out StreamerPeople.com, or.org, and also check out our advocacy page on Facebook for Air Alex Jones, which I know that we're going to see respectively on Facebook. going on, Bruce.
All right. That was wonderful to get to hear from our host. And so we're going to go ahead and just real quick back over to the Sunny Comics page. And we're also getting ready to hear from our host for this first hour. And that is, of course, my mind just went blank. Sorry. Space Cadet. And so if Space Cadet could call in, we'll go ahead and bring her on. And Corinne, if you're at the helm, well, you know what? I can bring her on just, I guess, as easily as you can, I think, because I am at the board as well. We're going to make this work tonight, folks. We appreciate your patience with us. But going back over to the show while we're waiting for her to call in, we're going to, okay, all right. Okay, got that message. Thank you. This is really fun. There's three of us here trying to figure this out. So, okay, back over to the show. We're going to, if you would like to look down and scroll down with us, we're looking at Arthur Kessler, The 13th Tribe. I uploaded it's a link for a free PDF. If you'd like to look at that, we'll be discussing that in the second hour. Also, the Khazar Empire, Illuminati, and the New World Order. Invention of the Jewish state, and also Khazaria, Jews of Khazaria, Brief History and Other Resources, The Hidden History of the Incredibly Evil Khazarian Mafia. So I think you've got just a smattering of where we're headed, and I believe we have some more on Jade Helm as we go down. So all of that, if you have time and would want to check into that, that would be awesome. And again, I'm going to ask that our guest call in. And so we're waiting for her to call in, and she's going to be talking, and she's not even just a guest, she's our host for this first hour, and this is just craziness again. So the second hour, we will be talking about Jade Helm. So we hope you folks are doing your homework out there and that you are getting on board with the information that you're being presented with, that you're, you know, it's good to listen and to hear and to be informed, but I find that listening is one thing, but when I do my own research, that seems to help me to be able to learn and to memorize better. And, you know, even in when we look in the second hour, some of the books that I've read and that I'll be referencing for the information that I have on the Jewish question, and that is the name of what I'm going to be talking about, the Jewish question. Some of that information, although it's presented in one light, it still has, you know, the author intended this, but it still has facts, it still has dates, it still has information. When you become a discerning, analytical, critical thinker, you are able to look for the thread of truth in whatever you're studying or listening to, not just the bend or the spin. You're able to pull that information out and you're able to access it and use it to be able to come to conclusions on your own. So, you know, I think that's pretty important when you're researching and looking for truth, is to know how to do that. So, you know, I think what we're going to do until we get Space Cadet on, we're just going to go ahead and delve into this until she comes on. So we're going to do a quick ad break, and then we're going to go ahead. No, we're not. We're not going to do an ad break. We're just going to go ahead and let's see. And I apologize for being so all over the place. This was an interesting night. This was not exactly the way it was supposed to go down. But I'm going to say it again, and I don't mean to sound paranoid, but this is the second time that I was bringing this information on and that we've had problems, quote unquote, technical difficulties. So I'm a conspiracy theorist. I guess it's not paranoia if it's true. But let's see if she's over here yet. Nope, not yet. So we're going to go ahead and look at this. The Jewish question, our introduction. Who were the Jews? You know, I think there's a lot of opinion out there. What caused me to start to look was back in 2009, I was researching genealogy. I was researching my dad's side. I didn't know my real father,
very well. He left when I was 5. They divorced. He was in and out of our lives before then. And so I wasn't close to his side of the family. There wasn't a whole lot of connection. We were moved out of the state. I really didn't know who he was. And so I started doing some research to see, okay, she's not able to get in. That problem, we were having technical difficulties. Wow. Okay. Yeah, this is interesting. Okay. All right. She's going to continue to try, and I'm going to continue to talk about what we're talking about. So I began to research my dad's side and my maiden name. My maiden name is Van Leer, V-A-N-L-E-E-R. Okay. All right. I'm going to say this out loud. It says, if you give her email, send her a co-host request, and she can direct connect the way I did. Okay, Corinne, how do I do that? We're trying to bring her on as a guest. How do I do that? Send her an email. Give her an email.
Okay. The button at the top of the thing that says invite guests and co-hosts. Click that. Okay. There you go. She's here.
Okay, invite. There she goes. She is here. Yay! All right, folks. You know what? We're flipping channels. Corinne, thank you so much. And Space Cadet.
Sorry.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, yay. Hi. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, there's nothing to be sorry for. It has been a night of just craziness trying to get on. Ladies, this is great. Yay, we're all here. It's a party. Okay. All right, we need that bottle of wine we were talking about earlier. Just open us a bottle of wine and pass it around. So, okay. Can you tonight tell us what you're going to be talking about?
Well, I was just going to talk about the full agenda we got going on in September with all the craziness going on. I mean, everything's like full speed ahead. We have everything is full speed. The Agenda 21's coming in. We got the climate change, which they've now, you know, changed the name of. And, you know, we have everybody getting dumbed down with the fluoride. And you have the North American Union coming in. And it's just, there's so much stuff going on right now. And then Jade Helm is, of course, in full swing. It kicked off, July the 23rd, and it's supposed to end September 23rd, which coincides with everything else that's going on September 23rd. So there's so much stuff going on. I mean, I don't even really know where to start.
Wow. Okay. Yes.
Unless I just did.
Yeah. I would say you just brought out all of dinner, not course by course. Yeah. That's a lot. And, you know, looking at the month of September, can I ask, because this is your area of expertise, you've been looking into this. We've talked about this privately, and I think you mentioned it on the show about Nibiru and about, disasters that they're predicting in September and things. You know, this is obviously, there's a plan being moved forward, and then there are things that are just happening. And so why don't we start with, okay, September. If I were looking at a calendar right now, and I were going to write down all of these events in chronological order, what should we expect first? And talk about that.
Well, first of all, I really don't know what to expect. There's so much stuff going on. You have the blood moons that are supposed to be finishing up, which goes back to whole, you know, the religious aspect of everything, which, you know, is a whole nother story in itself. And you have the Pope that's going to be addressing the UN, which has never happened in our history. And he's going to be discussing, and that's going to take place, I believe, on the 23rd, if not, it's the 24th. It could be a two-day thing. But he's supposed to discuss basically the whole New World Order, where they're wanting to basically get everything in one contained, just one system.
One world government with a one world leader. They're getting everything set up. And he is a religious head, but he is also a political head. And a lot of people don't realize that the Vatican is a seat of power, political power. But,
right,
yeah.
Right. And yeah, so he's going to be, it should be a major thing. And there's a lot of people talking about the possibility that he's supposed to come out with some sort of disclosure. Now, whether it's a disclosure about, you know, if whether it's an alien disclosure that's going around, there's the Nibiru thing that's going around where they think that he may announce this, this body coming into our solar system. There's lots of different things he could talk about. Of course, the New World Order and then getting the government going is, and, you know, making us all basic slaves. And also they're trying to make us feel guilty, you know, for our footprints basically being on the earth, because basically we're just bottom feeders when it comes to, you know, the climate and the globe itself. They don't really think of us as, you know, we're bottom feeders and we're trash builders and we, you know, we just destroy stuff. And, you know, we're overpopulated by what they seem to think, by 6 billion, which is a very huge number, you know. So you have all this climate, you have all these scientists talking about climate change, which now they've changed that from, what was it called before climate change?
Global warming.
Global warming. It was global warming, but now they've changed that, and now they make it climate change so that, you know, and they're trying to make everybody responsible for it except for the huge corporations, which, you know, that's a whole, you know, another aspect of everything. But we have all these, we have all the animal deaths that are going on. I mean, if you just go on YouTube and just look up, or you know, any way you want to do that and just look up mass animal deaths, it's mind-boggling how many animals are just turning up dead everywhere on the world, everywhere around the world. And then, you know, you have your earthquakes, which is a whole, you know, a whole other thing. I mean, we used to not have as many. I mean, you know, we'd have hundreds of earthquakes per day, but now we're like up to 4,000 a day. Every day. And it's like something is definitely, could possibly be there pulling us. You know, there's the expanded world issue. Oh, and there's a new theory going around about flat earth. I don't know if you've paid any attention to that, because I just kind of look it over and just kind of don't really pay much attention to it, because I have a really hard time believing that we're flat. But
right, I do
whatever.
Too. I do too. Yeah, and exactly. I've seen 50 pictures now. And I have not, honestly, I've not looked into it and in depth to see what the theory is, because I hate to say I don't think it's applicable to where I'm at right now, but I don't know how that plays into anything that's going on. And, you know, and I've had children who've flown to China, and I think they would have noticed, but anyway.
I don't know.
You know,
I don't know. It's a crazy
world.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a crazy theory. And most people know that, you know, in outer space, there's a vacuum and everything, you know, is a ball, pretty much.
Right.
Regardless,
yeah.
You know, no matter what you put out there, it turns into a ball. So, you know, I don't know. But I think I got off track.
We were
talking about September. I tend to do that. But,
no,
you know,
okay.
Talking about September. And then, of course, you know, the weather is super crazy everywhere. There was a softball-sized hail in Europe that, I mean, devastated a whole town. I mean, completely devastated a whole town. Has anybody ever seen a softball-sized hail, ever?
I have. Back in, I think it was 99 or 98, in Dubuque, we where I live in Iowa, we had
Iowa,
softball.
I'm not surprised.
No, it was in July, though. It was the freakiest thing. In July, we had softball-sized hail. And, I mean, maybe it was baseball, but they were huge, and it was crazy. And a lot of people had to have their ribs replaced after that. And it was just, it was nutty. I mean, anybody from this area would remember it, because it did. It made an impression. Well, that was a pun, but it did make quite an impression. Okay, so back to what you were saying.
The Nibiru thing. Well, so anyway, they were talking about the Pope possibly coming out with some sort of disclosure, which would also put in your place of the Jed Helm if it's going to be a martial law situation. So right. I don't know. There's so much stuff going on. I just kind of can't wait for September to be over just so I can relax.
Right.
At this point.
Yeah. It's, well, yeah, when you have a list of disasters, you know, I think you and I talked about the other day about 2001, you know, my friends who I got the eggs from that had the Y2K chickens, you know, they bought the chickens because Y2K is coming, you know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling, and they literally, Chicken Little, but they were afraid of Y2K, and so it caused them to do, like, some survivalist preparation. They got a generator and all this, and those weren't bad things to have anyway, but, you know, we don't live in fear, but yet we do prepare, and it's good to be knowledgeable and know what's going on and share that with others, but when you talk about some of the things that we're talking about, it is kind of scary when you think, and Jade Helm is real. That is happening. That those are military
right.
exercises. And what's going on in China, what's going on right now, you know, around the world, how does that affect us?
Yeah. The Jed Helm is definitely a real situation, and I know that there's a lot of videos out there that's trying to disclaim it. And I go both ways. You know, I mean, I look at every aspect of a story normally to try to debunk it. I'm not a total debunker because I kind of want to believe that some of this stuff is kind of cool. But, you know, I don't want to totally debunk everything either. But there are people that are trying to debunk it. But the thing is you have so many videos that prove that these military exercises are going on, not to mention, you know, that it's on the news, although you can't really go by media, so to speak. But, you know, all these exercises are taking place. And the thing is some of those Walmarts that were supposedly that had the plumbing issues originally,
right.
that was the story that came out, was they were having plumbing issues, so they were going to be shut down. And inspected and fixed, and supposedly there's tunnels underneath there and all kinds of really weird shit. But
right.
But to make it all kind of go together, they're talking about how these ones that had the plumbing issues, which there was, what, four of them, I believe, which seemed kind of odd to me. But there was, like, four of them that had plumbing issues. And the thing is, they're supposed to be set up and back in motion in sometime after the 24th of September, in going into November. Well, by then, you know, they can tell us whatever they want to tell us, but the fact is that it's going to be after the supposed date, after Jed Helm ends, supposedly. So really, it's just, you know, it's just a fabricated story, in my opinion. So I don't know. There's some silly stuff going on.
I mean, hey, you know what? I could see our Walmart having problems with plumbing, and they just shut the whole store down. Think about how much revenue that generates. I manage a place right now that's retail. I owned a business. I can tell you, you're not going to shut it down over plumbing problems unless they're, like, you know, to the point that it's going to, like, cave in. I mean, plumbing problems, you shut down a retail location over plumbing problems.
Right.
No, you don't do that.
There's several people that I know. I don't really know them, but I know them. They post. They've posted some videos of their particular Walmart in their town, and it's completely militarized. It's there's tanks everywhere. I mean, this is not just something that somebody's making up. And you know, it's supposed to be these exercises, which. When you watch some of these exercises on the news and on the media, it's pretty scary stuff. They don't even announce some of the stuff that they're doing. They just go in and raid these towns, and some people, elderly people, not necessarily elderly, but most of them are freaking out because they have no idea what's going on. And here's all these people with all these guns and full gear, and you know, it's like you think that somebody would have told somebody what was going on.
Well,
I don't know. It's some crazy stuff.
Since the National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, 2012, there used to be posse comitatus, which was posse comitatus disallowed the military to police our streets. And in 2012, with the rewriting of NDAA, they actually got rid of posse comitatus. And we are no longer protected from our own military and those actions. And, in fact, militarization of our police, which is, they're corporate, they're not someone you vote for, okay, they're a corporation, mm-hmm. they're all about revenue. So, okay, so now they do actually police our streets, and it's like the military doing it in many instances. But the military can now, not just in the case of martial law, but they can they certainly do that in the case of crisis events, but they police our streets. So we are going to, I'm afraid we have to take a real quick commercial break, if that's okay. And then we'll come back. We'll have one quick song, and we'll come back on, and I'm looking for where to go. So we'll have about 2-minute break, and we'll be right back, okay? Thank you. Okay. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back.
Aid is all worthless. It doesn't do any good for most of the people. You take money from poor people in this country, and you end up giving it to rich people in poor countries. And they're used as weapons of war, so you accomplish nothing. We should export some, maybe some principles about free markets and sound money, and maybe they could produce some of their own wealth. But this whole idea of talking about the endless wars and the endless foreign aid, it seems like nobody cares about the budget. I mean, we're in big trouble, and nobody wants to cut anything. So if you're going to keep sending foreign aid overseas and these endless wars that you don't have to declare and go into Libya without even consulting with the Congress, the biggest threat to our national security is our financial condition. And this is just aggravating it.
Governor Romney.
Congressman Paul, what they're doing is cutting $1 trillion out of the defense budget. They're cutting $1 trillion out of the defense budget, which just happens to equal the $1 trillion they're putting into Obamacare. And so what you have is a president that has a priority of spending us into bankruptcy, but he's not just spending us into bankruptcy, he's spending the money foolishly. We need to protect America and protect our troops and our military and stop the idea of Obamacare. Right. That's the best way to save money, not the military.
Right. But hold on 1 second, because Ron Paul wants to respond to that point.
Well, they're not cutting anything out of anything. All this talk is just talk. Believe me. They're nibbling away at baseline budgeting. It's automatic increases. There's nothing cut against the military, and the people on the Hill are nearly hysterical because the budget isn't going up as rapidly as they wanted to. It's a road to disaster. We better wake up.
Oh, okay.
Okay, folks, we kind of cut that short because our show has been kind of cut short there. So do we still have you there, Space Cadet? Oh, good. Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the Jade Helm portion of the show, if that's okay. Is that all right if we do that real quick?
Yeah, that's fine. I was just going to mention, you know, that a couple of other things that are still supposed to happen in September, though, which leads
Please
to.
Do. Yeah.
I think my dogs are having a fight. Okay, they stopped. Okay. CERN, well, CERN is supposed to be turned on in September, the exact same day. It's like the 23rd of September, and it's supposed to open portholes, and, I mean, we don't even know what this thing's going to do. There's a lot of speculation where, you know, I mean, basically the whole planet could blow up if they really wanted that. Talking about opening portholes to another dimension. There's all kinds of interesting stuff with the whole CERN thing. But I do know that on the Sunny Thomas page, there is a article posted that says 27, it's like the 27 things that will happen in September. And I suggest everybody watch it because it's really pretty interesting. There's a lot of religious connections in there when it comes to some of the Jewish holidays. So, you know, in September the 15th, which is just, what, a couple days from now, that's
right.
When the UN is supposed to establish Palestine as a state. So, you know, there's just so much craziness going on in this month. It's just insane. I can't even hardly sleep, really.
It's like a major shift, isn't it? All of a sudden, here we are. That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. Yeah, and it's kind of, to say it doesn't, it's exciting, but it's kind of scary at the same time, just a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of people that say that people that are living in this time were pretty much, some of them were actually chosen to be here at this particular time for one way or another. But, you know, that's a whole nother
right.
aspect of life. And
yeah.
Reincarnation and so on. So.
Well, I really appreciate the information, you know, that you've shared tonight with us, and would like to hear you talk about it some more at another time. You know, although when we get there,
yeah, we're not going to have a whole lot. We don't have a whole lot of time. Today's what, the 10th? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Wait a minute. Yeah, so I'm going to be watching my calendar and current events as these things happen and roll into place. And, you know, it's really interesting because you mentioned about Palestine, and we've talked about, you know, and I was going to get into, like, the Jewish question, you know, and I say that, the Jewish question, because really, who are the Jews? What are the parts that they play here? Are these people that are in Israel, are they really the Jews? What is the state of Israel? What is its purpose, its agenda? Is it the people there, or is it a hierarchy over it? I mean, there are just so many questions that I'd like to get into as well. And I am going to say, I forgot to say, our ad, of course, was Dr. Ron Paul speaking. And and then the music, the song that I played was called Shed Your Skin. It's a song by Michael Compton. We love his, from Shovelhead, but it's one of his, absolutely love his music. So, all right, and just wanted to kind of plug that in there. Yay, yeah, there you go. Seriously, he's got a song that he wrote called Fall from Grace that just, it plucks at my heartstrings. It's a really good song if you get a chance to listen to it. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and quickly shift if that's okay, and we're going to go into the Jewish question, and I kind of briefly was talking about what drew me into this. Back in 2009, was researching family genealogy. My maiden name is Van Leer, and the first thing that came up when I Googled it was the Van Leer Institute of Jerusalem and the Van Leer Foundation, and Bernardus Van Leer, the man who started that, was reportedly, supposedly a Jew. And that kind of, led me down a rabbit hole. I started researching because I didn't know my dad's side, and really the Van Leers were Jewish, and how could that be? And I, you know, went to reading a lot about the Jews and who they were and who they weren't. And in my research, I read a book by a man named Arthur Koestler, who wrote The 13th Tribe, which talks about the kingdom of Khazaria. And so it just led me in that direction. It was really kind of crazy because I was looking at the DNA portion of it. I was looking at the history of the Holocaust or Shoah. And I found a website, a listing called Yad Vashem, and Yad Vashem is a listing of all of the, you know, reported Jews that, not all, but many of them that died in Shoah. And I found 98 Van Leers listed, and so I'm like, who are these people, you know? And I can't get back far enough to see who my dad, I don't think they were. There were Van Leers who were and Van Leers that weren't, whatever, who claimed to be Jews. But it was an interesting question to me, and it made me start researching. And in my research, I mean, some things that I had been taught and that I believed went completely out the window. In fact, I remember talking to my pastor at the time saying, hey, I don't think those people over there are historical Jews. And he just looked at me like I was nuts.
well, of course they are, and we have to give them money to protect them and go to war for them. And I'm looking at him, and because my son had been a Hebrew linguist in the Navy, and you know, he worked for the NSA and all this sort of thing, and he knew, he's like, they have the best military bar none. They don't need us protecting them. I mean, China has more numbers, but they have the best military, and they're this and this and this. And I'm like, none of this adds up. Why are we giving them money? And who are we that are giving them money, and why are we doing this? I mean, one question generated another. So just tonight, wanted to kind of do an introduction. Biblical history on who the supposed biblical Jews were. Of course, we know there was this guy, this dude named Abram, and he married his half-sister. Her name was Sarai. And, you know, according to the biblical account, he was called by God out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees, and he and his wife and his nephew Lot, out they went looking for this land of Canaan, and so they left. And God made promises with him. He made a covenant with him and for his descendants, and his descendants, according to this, were, you know, going to be like the sands of the seas and or whatever, the beaches or whatever. And so he was going to have all these descendants who were going to, you know, inherit this land. And so that's biblical Abraham. And we know that he and Sarah eventually had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. And these promises, you know, were given to the male lineage. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's how he would introduce himself. Okay, and that's kind of information that's kind of important because, you know, you've this lineage, all of his descendants, and so supposedly all of this, these promises were made to him and his descendants. And so that's a pretty heavy thing. You know, you've heard of people who die and the guy who shows up for the reading of the will and says, well, that guy was really my dad. My DNA, right. I can prove it, and I get to inherit his stuff. So that kind of a claim is pretty, that's pretty big. They're claiming some things
over
there.
That's a big claim.
It is a big claim. And what are they doing to the people that were already there?
Mm-hmm.
The Palestinians, what are they doing? Yeah. Okay. And is that the way God said they would inherit that land? Is that what they're supposed to be? I mean, it's interesting to me, and I'm just going to plug for this. The Van Leer Institute of Jerusalem is a think tank, and they really are big on peace talks with, I mean, in fact, the Zionists hate them because they oppose
right.
Zionism and oppression, I mean, which is kind of cool because I'm thinking, well, if we are related, yay, go you. You know, that's wonderful. But anyway, so we're gonna fast forward, you know, through the biblical times to after the time of Christ, and Christ was, he was a Jew. These guys that were, him and his disciples were Jews, and they were living during the time of the Roman Empire, had dominion there. It had dominion. It was huge. It went up through Britannia. It went up through Germania. And if you go as far as Hadrian's Wall, you'll still find Roman coins today. I mean, for those who don't know the history of the Roman Empire, you could study it and look at how far they got. And so during that time, because Israel was under Roman dominion, they were able to travel those Roman roads. You hear the Romans road, well, the Roman roads and everything, you know, that were built. And so there were merchants, because the Jewish people were big on money and usury. They would charge usury. They were merchants. They handled gold, and they would go into Germania and into Britannia. And there were many of them already before the diaspora who were already there. Okay. So there are some there. That's historical. Okay. But then this really interesting thing happens when Tiberius came into Jerusalem, and he leveled it, and he didn't leave one stone standing on another. And from one end to the other, there were Jews that were on pikes along the road. And that's what he did to them. That's historical, you know.
Right.
That caused some problems. And the rest of them, they left. Wouldn't you? It's called the diaspora, or the dispersion of the Jews. And there's been much debate over where they went. Well, some, you know, the tribe of Dan went over into Africa, some say, or they went over here or there. So fast forward to about 700 AD, there's this really cool place called Kazaria. And Kazaria is actually a Turkish place. And I have a quote here, although I cannot find, because this was back in 2009 that I found this. And so somebody's gotten rid of the link. Imagine that. But according to the article published at the World Zionist Organization, WZO's website, imagine they got rid of this for a reason. Remarkably, the Khazars, a people of Turkic origin, converted to the Jewish religion sometime in the 9th century, beginning with the royal house and spreading gradually among the general populace. Judaism is now known to have been more widespread among the Khazar inhabitants of the Khazar kingdom than was previously thought. In 1999, Russian archaeologists announced that they had successfully reconstructed a Khazarian vessel from the Don River region, revealing 4 inscriptions of the word Israel in Hebrew lettering. It is now the accepted opinion among most scholars in the field that the conversion of the Khazars to Judaism was widespread. Get that word, conversion. And not limited merely to the royal house and nobility. Okay, all the Khazars are Jews. Okay, and again, I will refer to Arthur Koestler's book, The 13th Tribe. He really delves into that historically, and that's
right.
Interesting. I spoke to a young supposedly Jewish woman from Israel, who told me, this is interesting, when I asked her, where does blue-eyed Jews came from? She said, one Roman soldier. I mean, that's cute. Isn't that cute? Yeah, that's a recessive, yeah, it's a recessive gene, and I mean, that's adorable. Yeah, and I said, well, what about the Khazars? And she said, there were 4 Jewish mothers, and I looked at her and I said, not possible. That is not even, I mean, it's just silly. So really, who are the Jews? Are they historical Jews, or are these people who have taken the face of Judaism? Who are the, you know, and so I did some research in the DNA, and there is a book by Aaron L. Hake, who is actually Jewish, called The Missing Link of Jewish-European Ancestry, Contrasting the Rhineland and the Khazarian Hypothesis. Very good book that talks about circular thinking and the fact that their DNA has not been established and linked with a control of historical Jew. They're just taking their own DNA, calling themselves Jewish, and then if you happen to have the same DNA, then you're Jewish too. But their DNA doesn't have a marker that differs them from any of their European neighbors. The only differing mark of DNA is from the Kohen or Aaronic tribe. There is a marker, and in fact, there are people in Africa who are practicing the dietary laws of the Jews and Menorahs, and they're just as black as Ace of Spades. You tell me. I don't know. Go figure. So
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm doing this as quickly as I can, trying to get this. You know, a lot of history here. I would suggest people look into Spain and about the time that Columbus reportedly came over here. The Jews were being run out of the Sephardi were being run out of Spain, and many of them landed in other places. So they are forever being run out of other countries, or they were, because
always,
of their practices. Yep, because of their practice of usury, and they would, you know, they would loan money and they would charge interest, and because of what they would do, anyway, they were run out of places. So that's just a quick little synopsis. Those that claim to be historical Jews are unable to substantiate their claims using DNA testing. History suggests they are not descendants of Abraham, as they claim, nor are they Semitic. I think that's very important because people throw around the term anti-Semitism. There were
right.
Palestinian, yeah, there were Palestinian Jews, and I was researching and reading a book that my son actually has. It's Jews in the 20th Century. It's a wonderful book, but it's written with a very interesting bend. But it has a lot of history in it. And I was reading that, and the next time I talk about the subject, I'll be bringing that book in and some things that it talks about, the fact that there were Palestinian Jews at the beginning of the previous century. They were Jews, and they were living in Palestine side by side with their neighbors. Why is that different than what we're seeing now? It is much different. Those that were already there were Semitic. And they're not
right.
The people that are living there. The people that are living there are somewhat entirely different. And we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about the political state of Israel. We'll be talking about how it came about and the people that were involved in making it what it was. And we'll be talking about the agenda that it serves in the New World Order and the fact that it is a political state. It is not a religious one. That forced Zionism is not, you know, why that's happening, the people who are doing that. And I will talk about, in my opinion, the spiritual side of that, because there is an agenda and there is
and
a
central
side of
the central banking system as well.
Yes, absolutely. The Rothschilds and the central banking system and how that plays into it and how that's actually controlled several centuries wars, it's financed wars. It's the reason that we're a corporation now. The Organic Act of 1871 was created when that debt came due, that 70-year debt came due from the previous war, and that's why we are assets and pay taxes. Every bit of that, folks, if you're listening in right now, every bit of that affects your life. Go look at your Social Security number. Yep, everything. So all of that's important. But I fast-forwarded, and I apologize for dominating this part of the conversation, but I fast-forwarded because we don't have much time, and I wanted to get this out of the way. I'm going to talk about that because you have an aspect that you're going to bring in dealing with the RH factor and how, you know, I think there's many facets in this. It isn't just one flat, you know, or two-dimensional. I think it's many-dimensional, and that's why it's important to bring that into the argument. So I'm going to turn that part of it over to you and ask you to talk about that a little bit.
Well, after doing several years of looking into this whole RH thing, I've found out that, you know, most of all the people that control the world, the ones that run the New World Order, all of the elite, and all of them are all RH negative. And I was trying to figure out where that originated from. So and it led me back. It kind of led me way, way back to the original Jews. And I was kind of sad because that's not really what I was expecting to find out. But it's so deep and complicated. And the thing is that you have so many aspects of the people that run the world being actually immune to certain things that we live with daily. And it can't just be a coincidence that the man-made diseases these people are immune to. And it all kinds of ties in. I still got so much research to do because I get to a certain point and then I have to start over because I'm like, what? Now I got to start over because it didn't make any sense to me. So it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. The rabbit hole just keeps getting deeper and deeper. But, you know, I do realize that it's kind of off topic. I guess it's off topic, but when you talk about the man-made diseases and these people being immune to them, it's you know, you have Ebola. Supposedly, RH negative people don't get it. They don't spread it. It's not. It's a disease that affects people that are only positive blood types. You have AIDS. Same thing. There's several of the mosquito diseases that go around that supposedly RH negative people don't get. Now, if they're going to do a population control, and it seems like that would be a really good place to start with these man-made diseases. So I find it very interesting. And then, you know, you have the whole chosen ones, and I don't know. I just don't even know where to start, Kat.
Right. Well, it's kind of overwhelming. Well, and what you just said, I know the CDC has a sample of every, including they have smallpox. They have, you know, the bubonic plague. They have samples of all of that at the CDC. And we know that even the Spanish influenza, which was it great-grandpa died of in Missouri? Back in 1919 or whatever, 1918 when it swept through. So, I mean, they've got all that stuff. And they're not keeping it there, you know, because like, well, isn't this nice? Look at this. Look at this, Harry. Look what's in a tube. No, they're keeping it there for a reason, you know.
Yeah, well, they were supposedly the Black Plague, which killed millions of people. There was actually a couple of tribes that were total survivors, it didn't affect them whatsoever. And come to find out that these were RH negative people. And it just amazes me. And not to mention that they say now, I mean I don't know if this is true or not, but they say that every RH negative person that is born is actually tracked. For what purpose, I don't know, but supposedly these people are tracked, and they're tracked for their whole lives. They can't be cloned. Other blood types can be cloned. It's a fascinating thread of the story.
And then you know that it has a bearing and it plays in some way. You know that there are things we don't understand and we don't know, And yet to see this, it makes you question, and, you know, you talked about the alien creation, you know, the fact that, you know, were we created by, you know, an alien race or whatever, and, you know, and
right.
my take, of course, is a little bit different, but, I mean, it's like, yeah.
I'm definitely an ancient astronaut theorist. When you say God, I am totally, like, you know, it's
yeah.
actually a technology that was in this interpreted as gods because they had technology people didn't understand. But, you know, that's a whole other thing.
Right. And
but,
yet those
you know,
some of those the same information it's still there. I mean whatever the origin is, the application and what men are doing with it or certain individuals are doing with it is still the same thing. You still have the Georgia Guidestones and depopulation and Agenda 21 and sustainable communities and what they're trying to do, you know, and that's all control of your life, folks. You know, you want to be an ant in an ant farm. That's up to you, you know, if you want to
uh-huh.
do that. I personally, I don't. I believe in individual sovereignty. I believe I have a choice and a voice, and I don't believe that is their right to take that or to do that. And, you know, that's where I'm at. When it comes to, back to the Jewish question, if you would, their choices, when you have a political state that is deciding things. You know, I had this conversation with my son a few years ago, and I mean, I was very much a status quo thinker. I had always been taught we protect Israel no matter what because that's God's chosen people, and that's what you do. And, you know, I still believe, yeah, God has his chosen people and his promises. Do I believe that a political state is necessarily them? No. Do I believe that it might be the synagogue of Satan? Yes. It might be. Do I believe that every person that's there is complicit with that? No, I do not. I'm not ignorant enough to believe that. But when a person stops believing or doesn't believe the things that even Judaism, their own religion that they espouse, that is the religion of the Jews, believes, and they act in a way that is absolutely evil and wicked, well, when it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, well, guess what it is and guess what it isn't. God
right.
isn't happy with those that do wrong. I mean, you know, so my son said to me, he said, Mom, these men who claim to be Jews, these men who make these claims, and they're over here in the United States in political positions or bankers or whatever.
Right. They control the world.
That's right, exactly. And he says they're evil and they're wicked. So do you think God's happy with them? Do you think they're God's people? And he's like, is that what Jews do? I mean, he says, really? And I'm like, no, but God made a promise to Israel. He said, Mom, you know, biblically, there will come a time when all Israel will be saved. That's what the Bible says. Okay, all right. This is my son telling you this. He said, but I don't think those people over there are doing that. And
well,
I think they're on the other side. I'm like, you know what? You're right. When they're acting this way and they're doing this way, you know, they're acting like a duck, they're talking like a duck. Who's really using them and what are they doing? So the rest of it, I leave it alone. I don't understand it, but that is not—that's a political state.
That's just
right.
like the Vatican. That's political. And when it does wrong, you don't call wrong good and good wrong just because of the person who's doing it wears a label that they want you to respect. God is not a respecter of persons. I'm certainly not going to say that what they're doing is okay. They have just defined themselves by their actions. Their words mean nothing. So, yeah, so anyway, yeah, we've had that discussion because of current events and who's
right.
bolstering. Yeah,
right.
And what's
and,
going
and,
on. The Yeah.
Yeah, and basically when you get down to it, and bloodline is so important to so many different people that it just, it amazes me. Because you know that blood is like the second most mentioned word in the Bible besides the word God. So it's got to be... Well, an important aspect of the story.
The life is in the blood. That's what it says. The life is in the blood. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, Kat.
Well, you just mentioned how important blood is, and blood types are very important, and it all plays into that the Rh factor and the blood and how important it is. And so,
right.
Yeah.
And I mean, even when you go to the Prince Charles, for instance, when he married, he's been in love with Camille for his whole life, but they brought Princess Diana in because they needed a new bloodline, but her blood type happens to be Rh negative, just like the rest of them. So, you know, that was all just a big farce. I mean, she was only brought in to the story because they needed her bloodline. Camille obviously didn't have what they needed, and so it's just weird how they pick out these people to fulfill their bloodlines. It's the same with the new princess. You know, it's the same deal. She's Rh negative as well, and she was chosen probably on purpose. Chosen, you know, pretend like they're in love, whatever, and they may be. They may have great sex. Who knows? They have two babies now. And who makes such a big deal out of that anyway?
What's that?
But whatever. Anyway, you know, these people are chosen because of their bloodline, and it's amazing to me.
Yeah,
that just crazy.
Well, even,
oh, well.
Yeah, the genealogy, knowing that they're all pretty much related and connected. You know,
all the presidents are connected, and they all go back to the royal family. And well, not all of them, but basically, it will lead back to the royal family. And of course, there was a story I just read not too long ago where they were talking about all those babies, children. Did you happen to read that?
I don't think
it was
so.
It was on the Sunny Thomas page.
I missed that one.
Yeah, and it was. You know, people seem to think that, you know, Queen Elizabeth is actually eating babies. But, you know, that's a whole, you know.
The article that you shared?
Yeah,
I think
maybe.
I did.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, about going to the school?
Yes, that was a bizarre story.
Yeah, it was.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of children missing. What they did with them, who knows, but. It's twisted. All of it's twisted.
It
you know, I think when, I don't want to say the sadness, but, you know, whatever. Somebody rules the world.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And, you know, sometimes I can be naive. I think we can, all of us can fall into that. And because of the way I think everybody thinks like I do sometimes, or I used to. I used to be naive. And then, you know, you have that one defining moment when suddenly your eyes are open and you realize that there's a whole warped world out there and things aren't like what you thought. You know, I was a status quo thinker like I thought, and I was wave your flag and go pull your lever and vote. And, you know, that was
right.
Me. And until my sons sat me down, two of my sons, the one, like I said, you know, anyway, Naval Intelligence worked for the NSA. The other one was very involved politically, and he's now an expat. I mean, but they both sat me down and at different times and said, Mom, not what you're thinking.
Wake up.
Wake up. Slap, slap, slap. You know, and they would start leaving breadcrumbs, and I'd start researching. And I remember 9/11 was my wake up. I was like, oh, you're kidding. Because I remember watching it that day. I was working at a public school, at preschool, and we had a TV. This was terrible. It was an early childhood center. We had a TV in the breakfast room, and the adults are watching this. How traumatic was that for the kids? You know, and we're watching this, you know, as these events are unfolding. And, of course, we're swallowing everything because they're feeding it to us, and they're telling us what to believe, and we're not even noticing the glitches in front of our eyes. And these kids are being traumatized, and everybody thinks it's the end of the world, you know. But that was when I found out 9/11, you know, was our own, well, evil men in our own government, and Dick Cheney taking over NORAD, and, you know, all the things that happened, I was just like, oh, my Lord, really? The world never looked the same to me after that. It was like, all of a sudden, I'm thinking, okay, if that, then what about this? And then you start researching it, and you find out, yeah, hello.
Yeah, like most of our major wars were all false flags to begin with. I mean, they were all...
Right.
Pearl Harbor was just a way to get into just to get everybody revved up. It's a farce.
Right. And
it happened,
the formation,
of course, but...
Yes, it did happen. And the ships, the formation they were in, and my son told me this,
right,
because, again, he was Navy, but he said, Mom, the formation they were in, they should not have been in. They're never like that. they had that. That was deliberate because of what was coming.
Yes, it was planned.
They knew. They pulled them together like that. Yeah, everything was staged and planned. But the men who died in that, I had a friend who her grandpa and her uncle died the same day. The uncle died when Pearl Harbor was bombed, and then the grandpa got news of it and died of a heart attack. Yeah, because his son was killed at Pearl Harbor. I mean, the effects that had on people's lives, and yet people planned it. What kind of person would plan something like that? What kind of people? What's their conscience?
People that are going to make a huge profit off of a war.
Right. Everybody, go follow the money. Yep.
It keeps the world going. That's why we're in constant war, because it keeps financial institutions going. It keeps money going. It just keeps going and going and going, and that's why we're in constant war.
Right.
I wonder what real peace would be like. Like, apparently we'd all be poor.
But we already are, because we're funding all these wars. You know, it would be. We could just sit around and sing Kumbaya and wear flowers in our hair. But I would do that. I would gladly do that. You know, to me, because thinking about we get callous to things, or you know I do. In the world in which we live, it's easy to become callous. And I remember when my friend's son came home from Iraq. He was over there. He went out in 2003. You know, but he was part of an engineering crew, and they would lay explosives and blow things up. And they were in Fallujah, and they had laid explosives at this. It was a grocery store downstairs, and upstairs supposedly were Al-Qaeda ties. You know, people who were part of Al-Qaeda. And so they were blowing this up to get rid of the terrorists, right? Afterwards, he finds out there weren't any terrorists up there. There was a family that was there, and they were home. And they were little shoes from a little two-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that did to my friend's son? It was like Vietnam all over again. I mean, this guy came home, and he was so messed up. They had this stinking parade up here for this specific division, and he was like, he was so upset and jaded and bitter, and, oh, there was no way he was going to be part of that. And in fact, it was a mutual friend of ours that had been through Vietnam who put his arm around him and was able to help him to resolve some things and come to a place of peace for him. Because when you find out you're complicit and you were a tool and you have blood on your hands, that's pretty devastating. But when we talk about war, they talk about profits. We talk about the little two-year-old's shoes, the family that was killed, that was innocent. Why were we there? And these people, we murdered them. We have blood on our hands, folks. That flag that you're waving has innocent blood on it. Just because we are America does not mean that our wrong is justified. And it's time for those who, you know, wave their flags to step up and take responsibility and open your eyes and see what's really going on. You know, am I an American? Yes, I am. Am I a patriot? You betcha. But we have to take responsibility. We have to be awake and aware and not call good bad. We need to get out of those countries. We need to just stop foreign aid. We can't afford it. I mean, here you go, Ron Paul all over again, but that's where I'm at. But anyway, yeah, so I'm going to stop. My little, I kind of went a sidebar there. I feel very passionately about these things. I do. And yeah. So in 2 weeks, on the 24th, the plan is, if we're still here, the Nibiru has not blown us up, you open the dimension, we all fall in or whatever, you know, we're going down a river.
The sun does not destroy the world.
Yes. If that doesn't happen, then in 2 weeks, we're going to be, you know, co-hosting another show. And we're going to do part two of the Jewish question. We're going to deal with the Jews in the 20th century and what the agenda is. We're going to talk about what is the state of Israel, how was it created, for what purpose, who helped to create it, who funds it, and how does the state of Israel play into current events. You know, and I'm going to say again, my opinion is every person who necessarily is of that descent, you know, they may be ignorant, they may be arrogant, shame on them. But that's
a
not
lot
where
of them,
the...
A lot of them are probably ignorant, just like the rest, you know, the majority of the population don't really get the whole agenda aspect of it. And I'm sure that there's just about none of them really get the true gist of it.
Right.
They say they're Jewish, and they may be, but, you know,
well,
they don't get the true.
Right. They don't understand that, you know, anybody who has an attitude of entitlement for their specific interest group, that's a no-no. Because then what you're doing is the power stick. I have power. You know, we want there to be lots of power in the stick, and our group's going to have a stick. Well, what about when the next guy pulls it? You know, that takes away from individual liberty and sovereignty, and it violates everybody else's liberty, right? I mean, isn't that kind of not what the Constitution wants, you know, and the Founding Fathers had in mind? You know, when
right.
we respect other people's liberty, yeah. So when it violates my liberty, bad moment. When you want more liberty for your group, what you're really asking for is more power, which means you're taking it from someone else. I mean, it's about power and control and domination and that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's not a good idea. So when you have a group that says, I'm privileged, I'm special, blah, 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 you know, well, they're taking it from someone else. It's very interesting, the religious aspect of it, and I'm just going to go there, okay? But I heard it for many years. What they would say is, you know, Israel, that God chose Israel to not only to bring the Messiah into the world, but to preach salvation to everyone, that the Messiah was for everyone. And instead of doing that, they became full of themselves and thought they were special and privileged. And that's why he, you know, according to Judeo-Christian beliefs, that's why he put them aside, because they rejected the Messiah. They wanted a political Messiah to come in and free them from Roman domination. And here was this guy who was coming, who was preaching something entirely different, and he wasn't coming on a white horse yet, and he was coming to die for everybody. And they just, you know, in fact, they helped kill him. So, you know, it's not a good idea, but they rejected him. And so during that time, you know, that Christians were engrafted in, whatever. So I guess where I'm going with this is they're still waiting for their Messiah. They're still waiting.
Well,
the Illuminati, the Council of 13, has that table set.
Right.
And
which is actually supposed to, the Messiah is supposed to come in. The Messiah and or the Antichrist is supposed to make its appearance, or whatever you, however you want to say it, on September the 12th. I'm just saying.
That's
a
very
Jewish thing. Yeah, it's a Jewish thing.
Right.
I mean, you'll have to look it up. I just came across that the other day. It was part of the whole 27 things that's supposed to happen. Yeah, it's on there. It's September the 12th.
That is so interesting. That
yeah.
is so interesting because actually, according to what I've been taught and told, is that the temple will be built, which means the Dome of the Rock comes down first and the temple goes up. They already have everything ready for the temple. They have the cornerstone ready. They have the red heifer. They've had.
What are they
first.
Waiting on? How long does it
yeah.
take to build a temple?
Not very long. Well, if it's prefab, it wouldn't take long. Yeah, there you go. If it's prefab, it doesn't take long at all. I mean, you've got
yeah,
everything
ready.
Yeah,
it's like ready. A couple days.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
How long have we been waiting?
Yeah, long time. So, yeah, exactly. So I guess, yeah, you're right. It could just happen just like that, which makes
it,
you really think.
It may all have to do with dates and moons and prophecies and all of that. I think it's all of that's pre-planned or pre-fabbed, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So,
pre-fabbed.
Anyway, I thought
yeah.
September 12th was kind of an interesting date. Whatever.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But yeah, I'm anxious to see. I'm serious. I'll be watching all of those events as well to see how that plays out and plays in. And because of my background, the things I was taught, you know, I weigh it all out. And I don't know. I know God knows who the Jews are. I know
yeah.
He hasn't lost track of them. It's not like, you know, chickens. They have more than three baby chicks and they lose them. They can't keep track of more than three. I've been told this. They can only count to three. Chickens can only count to three. So God isn't like a chicken. If he doesn't lose them, he knows where they're at, every one of them, and I'm not real worried about that. That's my belief again. But I'm anxious to see what's going to happen because there are men who have a plan, and it's going to affect
people. I would
yeah.
really suggest looking up that 27 days, the 27 things, because there are a lot of very interesting things on that list. Not to mention the whole Madonna having her concert on the East Coast. And I believe the name of her concert is, or the name of the tour is something, it's something Blood and the Fallen Angels. And she's going to be, she's going to be there. That's like the name of her tour. And we all know she's, you know, pretty much sold her soul. So,
right. You
know, the thing is, you know, is she part of this whole, I mean, I'd hate to say that she's part of it, but you know, the Illuminati word.
Right.
You know, they bring people in and they, you know, they, which reminds me, my God, did you see the music awards? Because they were the worst I've ever seen in my entire life.
No, I did not.
There's so much
really?
Ritualistic stuff going on in that thing. It was pathetic.
But huh.
You should probably go back and check out some YouTube videos. It was on, what, 2 weeks ago? Or I don't know. I don't even know if it's been 2 weeks, but I was appalled. It was sickening, in my opinion.
I will go and look. I was not aware. I've been kind of busy with some other things. Hard to believe, but yes. But I will definitely do that. I will look that up.
It was hosted. Miley Cyrus hosted it. It was awful. It was awful.
Oh.
But there was so much Illuminati stuff going on in that thing. That was the only part that I found fascinating or interesting about it. But it was pretty. It was pretty evil. Pretty evil in my opinion. If you can go that way, you know, back and forth.
They
but yeah,
they don't even hide it anymore. They don't even hide it anymore today. Everything's
right
out
there.
It
was right in your face. And I mean, a couple of the thing is, I don't really understand is how some of this satanic stuff that goes on is just right in front of your face. And some people don't even see it. They just think of it as entertainment, and it's not.
Well, it's boiled frog, because they've been introduced to it gradually over time. So they tie it with, they don't take it seriously. And, you know, it's just like the video games, kids watching video games and playing video games, you know, where people die, and it desensitizes them to it. And it breaks down those barriers in their mind. But another reason, I really do believe, you know, here you go. What are they spraying in our skies? What are they medicating people with? What are pharmaceuticals? The word pharmakei is a word that actually, a Greek word that means witchcraft. Pharma or pharmakei means witchcraft. And so pharmaceuticals, that word that comes from.
Well, now, I don't want to totally, you know, disrespect the witchcraft thing because...
Right. Well,
because
no.
The thing is most women, you know, most women were healers, and they did come across some herbs that did kick some pretty good ass, really.
Right. Well, no, there's nothing wrong. See, I'm a holistic. I'm a naturopath.
Right.
I believe in doing. So that, yes. But when you get into pharmaceuticals themselves, the point is, it's something that is man-made that is going to affect you in a way that isn't necessarily in your best interest. And some of the things, the antidepressants that they're doling out like candy, the things they're giving kids now, you know, the immunizations. I mean, there's so many things that the body and the mind do not have a chance to fight. And analytical thinking skills are discouraged. And questioning things, it's discouraged. You know,
I'm pretty sure they did just come out with a form of Xanax for children, and I was like, what? I mean, how upset and crazy does your kid have to be on Xanax? I don't get that.
Well, and a lot of those, what do I want to say, pharmaceuticals that they give to adults, when they give them to children, they've found this out in the last 10, 15 years, that the side effects, a lot of these kids end up with depression or different side effects, that they take their own life, or, you know, they have side effects that render them not able to function as an adult. I mean, there's just so many things that these kids shouldn't be on these medications. They're still developing. They're young. They weren't intended for them. It creates problems.
You know
no
what?
Doubt.
I had a thought the other day. You said something about video games, and I had this thought the other day. I was watching the news, and they were whatever, to make a long story short, I was remembering back when my kids were younger and they had just started coming out with the really cool, we're talking 20, 23 years ago or so, and they had just came out with some really pretty cool video games, one of them being Grand Theft Auto, where you drive around and, you know, basically shoot cops, like, for fun, and
right.
drive over whores, and, you know, you were trying to rack up points, and the more cops you shot, the more points you got, or vice versa. It goes both ways. But I can remember thinking back to when those first started coming out, and we were thinking to ourselves, what is this going to do to the generations down the road, right?
Right.
I think that we're starting to see what those video games have actually done, because now
Definitely.
You have cops shooting people constantly. I mean, they're shooting people every day. And then, of course, now you have people shooting cops, which is something that never used to happen. I mean, that used to be, like, taboo. You shot a cop, you went to prison, period.
Right.
And now you have all these cops that are growing up that 20 years ago were these kids that were playing these video games, and I think that they have actually been possibly affected by those games. And I think
they
might be seeing that in real life.
They've been programmed.
Yeah. Not
yeah,
to mention some of the, you know, the videos. Yeah.
Right. You're absolutely right. And it changes, you know, I think you and I had this conversation before, and I'd love to talk about this in depth on the show sometime, because when I worked in education, we went to different seminars and things that were held in the district, and there was a gentleman there who was presenting, and I talked to him afterwards about which came first, the chicken or the egg, you know, about the formation of the brain, when the brain is forming, how it is malleable, and why, you know, these children who are sat in front of a video game or whatever, their brain doesn't look the same as it normally develops if you don't have that social interaction. I know for a fact
that if
a child learns a second language besides its own language, and music is also a language, by the way, but when they're very young, by the time they're 6, 7 years old, if they're exposed to that, the brain is forming, and there are neuropaths, or like little superhighways that the neurons, the information can travel on. They develop that as a child. When they're an adult, they can more easily learn other languages. Hence, three of my children learned languages very easily, and one was a linguist, and he speaks four besides English. And so, you know, we know that the brain is malleable, and it's not one size fits all. This is the way it is. So I think that what you're talking about absolutely is true, and that's why when you train up a child, the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it, because part of that is because you're making their brain the way it's going to be, and to change that is like next to impossible. So you're conditioning them, you're teaching them things, you're breaking down boundaries. You know, I think of the book Animal Farm.
Yeah.
Do you remember Animal Farm?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the dogs that had the puppies, and it was Napoleon, the one, they were Snowball and Napoleon were the two pigs and the leaders, and Snowball was kind of nice, but Napoleon wasn't, obviously this was Russia they were talking about, but Napoleon
right.
took
That's a cool movie.
Those puppies,
yeah,
he took the puppies away, and he trained those puppies so that they were killers. Even their own mothers were afraid of them. They'd have killed their own mothers.
Right.
Yeah, and so it is the same thing. We had a generation.
Yeah, I think it's really cool, because I hadn't really thought about it. I'd forgotten about it. It's like I've forgotten all about this theory of people thinking about what would happen to these people, to our children after 20, 25 years. And now I think
right.
we're really starting to see the effect.
It's
kind of interesting. It's
yeah.
kind of interesting. And I think if more people looked at it that way, maybe more people would get it. And maybe
right.
step back and say, oh, my God, my video game has actually affected me.
Right, or what am I allowing my children to do?
Odd,
yeah.
But, I mean, I think we're seeing it.
Yes, I agree with you. Well, we're wrapping up. We've got the last 4 minutes of the show. We're going to play some music. We've got a song by
okay.
Homeland called Modern Man we're going to play. And we're going to say goodnight, and you and I can talk later.
Yeah,
okay. Corinne. Yeah, I'm going to let Corinne know that we're going to be done here as well, and very much appreciate our listeners who called into the show to listen, or who were listening while we were broadcasting and you were able to hear it. And I want to give a shout-out to everyone. Continue to stay tuned in. Continue to do your homework and find out what's going on, you know, because this is your life. This is your family. This is your world.
and you're definitely going to be affected by the things that are coming down the pike. So we want to wish you good night, and thank you so much, Space Cadet. And this is Catastrophe, and we're going to say good night. Thanks for tuning in to the Sunny Thomas Show. Have a great night. Thank you. Bye.
Back to the place where you had to decide.